Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse De Leon on this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, accompanied by Father Peter Martinez, who is the pastor at Our Lady of Perpetual Help, as well as the president of John Paul II Academy. Good morning, Father Peter.
Good morning, Jesse. Great to be here.
We're glad you took time from your very hectic schedule to be behind the mic this morning as we hear today's gospel. If you would now proclaim that for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this week, Jesus speaking to us in parables, as he has been doing in the scriptures the last couple of weeks. And Father, what is your reflection on this particular gospel?
It's a powerful gospel. It's very rich. I think there's a lot to unpack in regards to the message of what the kingdom of God is like.
Mm-hmm.
I see the first point is there's radical cost, but also radical joy.
Mm-hmm.
The radical cost, at least in the eyes of the world, in both the finding of the treasure buried in the field and the pearl of great price, the men sell all. You have that wording, they sold all. Why do they sell all? What does it mean that they sold all? When in relationship to the kingdom of God, selling all for us looks like maybe our time, our relationship, our ambitions. All of these things are us giving away what the world sees as valuable. Why? Because of something much more valuable, which we can't get from the world, which is the kingdom of God. And so joy is connected, radical joy is connected to radical cost, because what we receive from in the kingdom of God is so much more valuable than anything that the world has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a blessing for us to contemplate, to reflect upon. In regards to the gift that we receive, when you truly understand it and you have it before you, there's nothing in the world that's worth more. What's also interesting, I think, in regards to the kingdom of God, is how it relates to personal conversion stories. You know, I think a lot of people come to this awareness of the kingdom in different ways. And from personal experiences, I've seen people with aha moments, epiphany mm-hmm. moments where they're like, what was I doing? What was I thinking? This is what's important, the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are searching. They're putting in the work. They're grinding for the truth for a long time, but they come to the same conclusion in regards mm-hmm. to the kingdom of God. And so what's interesting and what the Lord is trying to tell us, it doesn't matter how you got here. Once you're here, you recognize the value, and then you sell all because you recognize the gift, which is the kingdom of God. And so whether or not you're You know, you had some moment in your life, maybe it's a tragedy where it puts things in perspective, where you had to suffer a trial and or tribulation, and then it helped you reorient or refocus on what's really important in regards to the priorities of your life. Or maybe you're somebody who just reading the fathers of the church, or you're just searching for, you know, the truth. Regardless of how you got to the kingdom, once you're there, you're committed, mm-hmm. and you hold nothing back. You're all in, and you realize the joy to be had.
It does take that step of making that decision to make that radical sacrifice or giving up something that is indeed dramatic in order to receive something equally dramatic and equally satisfying.
Exactly.
And as you said, what the world offers doesn't compare to it. Sometimes it takes us longer to realize that in our faith, depending on where we are in our journey, what we're more attuned to. If we are more attuned to the spiritual things, we tend to maybe recognize them a little bit quicker. But those who may be a little further along on their journey, when something like this happens, as you said, it can be maybe a life-changing event of some kind, good or bad.
Yeah.
And that can open someone's eyes to be able to say, what is God trying to tell me? Maybe that gift is being presented in a very unassuming or very unexpected way for us to embrace it and to be able to have that radical moment of giving it all up to embrace something that is joyously radical. I love that. I love that that term. It's such a beautiful term.
Yeah. And talking to people in all different walks of life, they all have their own story, their own background, and myself included. But once you're there and once you recognize the gift of the kingdom of God, the gift of faith, then you're all in.
Mm-hmm.
However long it took you, whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old, however short or long the journey was, once you recognize the gift, you go all in. And our Lord shares with us how to go all in by self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
True love is always sacrificial. And so He has gone all in. And us, by taking on our own flesh, by giving His very life for us, and invites us to do the same in our relationship back to Him and also each other. In regards to another point, I think a rich point that we see in our gospel reading is in regards to the dragnet. Okay, we talked about different people of all ages.
Right.
We also have all kinds of walks of life in the church, and it says the dragnet brought in, the kingdom of God is like a net of fish, and that's the good and the bad. You know, I think it's important for us to recognize, like, at the end of the age, it says they will be separated. I think that's important for us to keep in mind how we relate to other people in our relationships. That as a person of faith, I am not God, which means I don't judge persons' value or their worth. I can judge actions, but I can't judge value. And so when you have this large net of people, good and bad, it is not my job to decide who's good or bad.
Right.
My job is to be a disciple of Christ. And if I have to judge, I can judge actions. I can say that which was done was not good, or I can say what I did was not good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a right to say or judge somebody's value, their personhood, or even my own. I can't even judge my own worth, because it is God's job to judge value and worth. We, as His people, as the created, can judge actions, but not persons.
That's a beautiful and very wise observation. So many times we find ourselves in conversations with people and it turns into maybe a gossipy kind of thing, or so-and-so said this and they said this, and all of a sudden it becomes very confrontational or very negative, and those negative emotions can be very powerful. We get caught up in them and we lose sight of the fact that, yes, we can judge what someone has done maybe and realize that in relation to me, this is what it meant, or maybe try and help them in some way, but judging the person, having a judgmental attitude, is something that obviously we all steer clear of. What are some of the things maybe you give advice to parishioners that come to you that say that I'm struggling with maybe the sin of gossip or I'm always very judgmental? How do you guide them out of that very dangerous terrain?
Yeah, I tell them that they can share information with people that have a right to that information.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people who can make a difference in regard to that situation. If you're sharing information about somebody to somebody that can't make the situation better and doesn't have a right to that information like a parent, then you shouldn't share that information with them.
Right.
I think it was Lou Holtz who talked about, you know, gossip is kind of like, and I know it sounds kind of crass, vomiting. You feel better, but nobody around you feels better.
Right, right.
And so I share with people, you know, like they wonder, like, is this gossip? Is that gossip? I said, well, if you're talking, like, for instance, like a school setting, and you have kids talking to other kids about a teacher, well, that's going to be in the gossip area because that kid can't do anything about the teacher.
Right.
But if you're talking to a counselor or you're talking to a principal who can make the situation better, mm-hmm. well, then that's not gossip. Even if it's the same content, it's not gossip because that person either can do something about the situation or they have a right to that information.
Will there be a positive end from that conversation?
Yeah. And the way you think about it is, will it bear fruit?
Right.
Will it bear fruit? Will this conversation bear fruit? And sometimes, sadly, in this world, we engage in conversations to put other people down because we somehow feel lifted up. And like it's a zero-sum game. If I'm going to push somebody down, I feel better about myself. That is horrible. You know, it's a natural inclination that we have to fight against,
right,
with supernatural grace,
mm-hmm.
you know, to lift other people up and not to feel bad about ourselves when other people have good news in their life. It is important for us to stay focused on all that is good and on ourselves and also celebrate the good in others.
And bringing that around to what you were talking about, the dragnet there, where the good and the bad are gathered together, God is the ultimate judge.
Amen.
Maybe all we can do is just, if we know someone who's struggling or maybe is not as good as they could be, we may try to bring them along and maybe help them improve.
Yeah.
Reaching out, maybe doing a type of maybe a suggestion or staying positive in that whole interaction, as opposed to saying, you're bad and I'm good and look at you and look at me. And then you end up like the Pharisee in the temple saying, thank God I'm not like them. And we don't want to go that direction. Yeah. Obviously. So something to keep in mind as we go into the week. Thank you, Father Peter Martinez. He is with us on Our Shepherd's View this morning. We're going to take a short break and we will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father Peter Martinez, who is the pastor at Our Lady of Perpetual Help, not to mention my home parish. So, Father, it's good to see you here behind the mic. And, of course, Father is also the president of St. John Paul II Academy. Such a busy day you have, Father. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and be with us here today on Our Shepherd's View on this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are talking about the Gospel from Matthew, and we're talking about the hidden treasure, the pearl of great value, and the different ways that we can take what this gospel message is giving us this week and incorporating it into our everyday lives to not only help ourselves, but help those around us.
Yeah, I like to also speak on the end part of the gospel, which maybe there's so much richness in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but also in the end it says, and he replied, then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from the storeroom both the new and the old. What is the Lord? How's that speak to the kingdom of God? What does that even mean for us? And I think our Lord is leading us to understand the value, one, of tradition,
mm-hmm.
but also the role of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is that we're rooted in tradition of the church. We're rooted in universal principles, law, God's law and God's rules. But if the Holy Spirit is alive, which he is,
mm-hmm.
then our faith has to be alive. How do we apply the being rooted in our tradition to new circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we apply a gospel that was spoken 2,000 years ago to my situation today where, you know, I'm trying to figure out artificial intelligence?
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's like, the Spirit is alive, but we're rooted in tradition. I think that's important for us to realize that our faith is a living faith. It is not something covered in dust, but it is alive. But it doesn't mean that it is not rooted. And it is always rooted in Christ, Christ who was, is, and ever shall be. And so that's the bedrock, that's the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachings are timeless, which means they can be applied to whatever circumstance we might find ourselves now and in the future.
And there's a challenge there in finding that connection between these beautifully written, but as you said, these scriptures that were written so many years ago, to find the connection to our lives today. Sometimes it's easy to see that, sometimes not so much, but it takes the prayer and reflection that we can maybe start to offer up, maybe daily scripture readings, looking at the daily readings for the day, or spending time in prayer and silence. And that's something that I've always championed to several people. Turn off the devices, turn everything off. Let God be in those silent moments. It doesn't have to be an hour, but just give God time to let you breathe and have him speak to you and reach out. And in finding those spaces where we can find those quiet times, we can maybe find this connection to what is said in the gospel and how we can improve our lives or build the kingdom of God for him by finding the wisdom that's in there. There's so much wisdom to be found. It takes a little bit of effort, though.
It does. It does. And ultimately, I think we want to be bridge builders, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that we don't have to do it ourselves. In this world, a lot of things, there's a lot of relativism in the world. A lot. We all experience things from our point of view and our perspective, which has value, but we also have to recognize the perspective of, say, the church, the mm-hmm. magisterium,
right.
who over the centuries we have this tradition and that we stand on. That's a foundation upon we stand on, and then we recognize new situations and like you mentioned, through prayer and reflection, to figure out how it applies, and so we can be those bridges, as Christ is a bridge for us that makes salvation possible. We, as Christ on earth, his hands and feet, we are instruments of his goodness, his truth, and his beauty in the world. And so how do we apply his teaching, his wisdom, the church's teaching, the church's wisdom, to everyday circumstances? It's important. It's not easy, and it does take time and reflection and not to be rushing to judgment.
Right. Another thing that struck me as you were speaking too, Father, in the church there at Our Lady of Perpetual Help, you've got a beautiful image likeness of Mother Teresa. And one of the things that she always used to say and still echoes with a lot of people is you don't have to do all these huge, grandiose things, small things with kindness and love. And in making those changes and helping to reach out to bring the gospel, applying the gospel to our lives and helping others, those small gestures, whether it's helping someone, calling on a neighbor, one of the funny things that I remember reading years ago about was introduce a random act of kindness, maybe pay for the person who's behind you in the drive-thru and just pay for their food and just kind of do something that's not expected. And those kinds of little things, we end up finding the Lord living and guiding us through some things that maybe we forget our difficulties for that moment and offer something good to others. And maybe that domino effect carries on and helps us. But I always go back to Mother Teresa with the small acts with great love.
Yeah. And you think about what is going to bear fruit in the world, and it doesn't have to be big things. You know, when you're talking about Mother Teresa, her life inspired generations, mm-hmm. but also thousands. And her goodness was rooted in the goodness of Christ. And when people saw her, they saw Christ, and they also said, well, why not me?
Right.
So she was an inspiration. And that's one of the ways that we can make this world and this kingdom a better place through our example and also our prayer to nurture, to inspire, to uplift, to love. Those are all ways that we can be Christ in the world in little ways and in big ways and in every way possible through God's grace.
The other thing she brings to the table, too, is humility. And when we do something, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to do it for the sake of doing good, we find a whole lot more depth there and more peace through an act of humility, just saying, take it or it's yours or let me help you with that or whatever it might be. And in that very small, seemingly small gesture, greater things come. As you said, it bears great fruit, and all it takes is just that first step to do that.
I agree. In regards to humility, I think it's when we're humble, we recognize our blessings. In this world, sometimes it's easy to focus on what isn't that we wish that was, what we don't have that we wish we did.
Right.
And God can feel very far away when we're focusing on all that isn't that we wish that was. Because we're not in tune with our blessing. God's not far away. He's mm-hmm. here. He's present. But when we forget about our blessing, who we are, whose we are, what we have, then if we forget about those things, then God feels far away. But when we're in tune with those things, we are more in His presence. We count our blessings. But then when we're in tune with those blessings, we become instruments of those blessings in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we feel that goodness, we want to share that goodness. It's like the Christian two-step. First you get it, and then you give it.
Right, exactly. And I think in doing that, we may begin to hopefully inspire others to do the same.
Yeah,
and we see the change.
That's the hope.
That's the hope that we carry with us as we go out. And even to people that may not be attuned to it, the fact that we're offering it, the fact that we stay true to what we believe, and even knowing that we'll give to people that may be, you know, maybe not be having the greatest day, or they may not have a good way of reciprocating what we're giving them, that's fine. And offering that in the good spirit that, as we said before, will bear fruit and guide us the right way.
Amen.
And also, Father, as pastor, and also as the president of St. John Paul II Academy, in those kinds of roles, what are some of the things that you maybe hope for our young people to, as we get closer to the school year, and a lot of preparation going on, and of course, parents preparing as well, and what are some hopes for the future of both John Paul II Academy, but also there at Our Lady Perpetual Help, too? What are some of your hopes for the upcoming school year?
Well, I pray for them every day. And also for the teachers. You know, education it's not just about the teacher. It's about the community. It's about the teacher and the classroom over. It's about the lunch lady. It's about the principal. It's about the pastor.
Right.
It's about the parents engaging in conversation. You know, it's about the individual needs of the student. You know, how do we meet those students where they are and then bring them to where they need to be academically, you know, spiritually, emotionally. You know, that's the incarnation. We reach them where they are, like Jesus took on our own flesh,
mm-hmm.
and then invite them to more, like our Lord invites us into the inner life of the Trinity. And so for education right now, students are gearing up. The parents are buying uniforms. They're about ready to get that haircut and chop off the mop right before they come back.
Right.
And then our teachers are getting the classrooms ready. We just, at the elementary at OLPH, we just painted the hallway.
Oh, wow. You know? Big project.
Yeah, we're getting things all ready for a new beautiful year.
That's exciting, Father, and thank you for what you do in your role as both a pastor but also administrator and seeing the young people coming through there. I've been there at OLPH on the first day of school. It's so great to see the energy and everyone's brand new uniforms and even the parents, too. There's some emotional moments, too, mind you, at those moments where maybe some of the younger ones are getting left at school for the first time.
Yeah.
And even some of the older ones get a little emotional, too.
Yeah, for the first week or two, we let the parents come in and bring them directly to the classroom, but then after that, it's like, okay, we leave them at the door and the teacher takes them to the classroom. There's a little bit of a weaning period.
Right, right. But still great to see that. And of course, parents being involved with the...
100%.
It's so great to see that as well. So again, many blessings to all these students there at OLPH and John Paul Academy that will be returning to the classroom. We thank you for your reflection and sharing that with us as well. As we get to the end of our program, Father, if you would now offer us a blessing.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.